Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. What is the Triple X generation? We'll talk about that a little bit. And a secular article in the New York Magazine that brings us back to a biblical principle. We'll talk about that and all sorts of other stuff here today on New Life Live. All the boys are in. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
Well, I couldn't have done it without your ministry.
Is it okay sometimes to not obey your pastor if you really believe that what you're doing is right?
You know, just clinically speaking, this kind of dynamic is so stupid that somebody would live like this.
So tell us where you're the bad guy here. What you're focusing on is that the Bible says that this is a problem. What you're eliminating is the answers that it provides to the problem.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, answering the question that many of you have had. Will the boys ever get back on the radio at the same time again? And here we all are answering yes.
Are we live?
We are really, really live.
This is the weirdest thing. I've had that question from I don't know how many people. It's like, are you guys like not there anymore? Are you moving? Are you off?
Because no, my mother keeps calling. When is everybody getting back on the radio? And of course, Henry's here, but he's still not on the radio. But, you know, sometimes. What's that?
It's really loud for me.
Well, you know, the reason Henry's not on is because he doesn't have his headphones on.
No, I was marking because it's very loud for me.
Is
and
it?
He says you can control that. You can bring that.
Oh, okay.
You know, we're doing tech things here, and thank you.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Henry.
I have my headphones working now.
Okay. Now, I got to talk to you guys about something. New York Magazine this month, it's got a picture of a porn queen on the front. I mean, not totally on there, but she's on there. And it talks about the Triple X generation. Okay, so here are and they got two articles in there talking about pornography and internet pornography. And the last article is it's one of these things where people, they can't help themselves. They still stumble on to God's truth. There was a lady who is an anti-porn activist who said, if we keep up all this porn stuff and the internet and everything, men are going to be these crazed men out there, and they're going to objectify women, and the result is going to be rape and mayhem everywhere. Well, she was wrong. The whole article is about mass saturation of pornography, turning men against women, destroying their sex drive, causing husbands and wives to break up. And the end conclusion of this secular article is that there needs to remain a sacredness about those. That was her word,
wow.
A sacredness about sex. And she talks about going over to Israel, where one of her former hippie friends had moved and married a Jewish guy and, you know, dresses to where even her hair doesn't show, goes into their bedroom where the children aren't even allowed. The only place where this woman is ever seen naked is in this bedroom by this man. And this man doesn't see any other women all day long because they're all covered up. And the lady goes, wow. In her words, this woman must be so hot to this man once they finally make it to the bedroom and they're able to be with each other. I mean, it's just so affirming of this God of ours is so smart, the way he makes things to work the way they're supposed to be. And even the world eventually goes from saying, yeah, let's live like Hugh Hefner or whatever, to stumbling back on to, you know what, there needs to be something sacred about sex.
So sacred that God used it as a way to symbolically describe his relationship with us. That's pretty sacred.
When you think of the word know, which is translated sex in the Bible, you know, to know someone, you know them in the biblical sense. When you think about that, there's a scattering of the knowing, you know, with all the porn and images and movies and all that stuff that that there's it's gotten so shallow that knowing has become shallow.
Right.
And instead of knowing being deep, knowing has become shallow, and therefore it can't deliver what it's supposed to deliver.
That's true. Instead of knowing someone, you need to say no, really. I mean, the other no needs
so
to be
clever.
Used.
Can you believe it?
Let's go to a break, come back.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That number again is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 10th through the 12th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. Why don't we go to Sherry, who is calling from Dallas, Texas. She listens to KWRD. Sherry, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, great.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a little distraught this morning.
Oh.
My mother is having a difficult time accepting my engagement to my fiancé, who's not the same race as me.
Mm. What race are you and what race is he?
I'm African-American and he's white.
And your mother says bad deal.
Yeah. Actually, when I came home last night, there was a letter on my dresser that she had written and left for me to read. And
is that how your mother generally communicates big things to you? No, I'm serious.
No, not by letter. No, okay. Normally we talk.
Usually it's just an article.
Yeah. No, normally we talk, but I guess for something as difficult as this, she needed to write it down.
Okay.
So what puzzled me about it and what really disturbed me is that she said that the Lord is telling her to tell me to leave this guy alone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know what I always like to ask parents who have a problem with this, and there are things to consider because, you know, society, much less so now, but you know, there's some difficulties.
So.
But I always like to ask parents, now, would you rather your child be married to someone of the same race who is abusive, disrespectful, and disconnected, or would you rather have your child married to someone of a different race who absolutely adores your child,
right?
Connected, wants to serve, wants to go through life. Life is an adventure, makes him or her happy. I mean,
that's exactly my situation. Yeah. That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. I was in an abusive relationship prior to, and I'm in a totally different relationship now.
How old are you, Sherry?
I am 42.
42?
Yes.
Well, Sherry,
now that's a little bit of a disconnect for us here.
Do you live in the home with your mother?
No, I don't.
So how did the note get to your house?
Dropped my daughter off home yesterday, and while she was there, she thought she needed to leave me a letter.
So what's your question?
My question is, how do I appropriately respond to this letter? Because I don't want to respond out of disrespect or anger or whatever, but I need to say something.
Well, Sherry, what is her concern?
I think she thinks I'm going to have a horrible life, that I'm going to experience, you know, bigotry and racism and things like that, and that my daughter will probably be subjected to some, you know, not so nice things.
Well, do you live in a place where that's just the way it is?
I don't.
So
I think that's what her fear is.
Yeah, you don't experience that in your own life.
No.
Well, one of the things I think that's very important, if you just take the race thing out of it for a moment, mm-hmm. and let's talk about any cultural differences
mm-hmm.
that anybody would experience.
Right.
What you do when you're dating somebody is, and this is what we call safe dating, is you bring that person into your own circle, and you go into their circle, and you find if those circles go together.
Exactly.
And so if you live in a community and have friends and extended family and all of that, and he does too, where everybody loves each other and they're colorblind, and I mean, then you know. But if you're in any situation where there are great difficulties, it doesn't mean you don't do it, but it means that you are mindful of the difficulties.
Right.
So if she's seeing something that are difficulties, it may, what you take from it is you might be mindful of those, but it doesn't mean that you come up with the same solution she does.
Right, exactly.
In other words, if you're around a bunch of bigots, you better be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. I think she's projecting out because she's had some difficulties in her workplace.
Sherry, why does this affect you so deeply that, you know, normally I would just say to somebody who's 42,
right,
gosh, my mom's kind of going off the deep end on this, and I love her, but I'll handle her, but, you know.
Well, of course I would want family support, and I'm getting that, like, from half of the family, but they also are listening to her concerns, and so she feels like, okay, now the family's a little bit, it's kind of torn. Now, I'm the reason everybody's feeling uncomfortable is how she sees it. Now, I'm making everyone else uncomfortable.
Well, you know what? This kind of points to John and Henry's book, Boundaries Face to Face.
Right.
You need to have an uncomfortable conversation with your mom. She chose not to have one to you. She left you a note. And that kind of threw me off there because it was feeling more like, you know, you were 18 and she came in the bedroom, left a note there, that kind of thing. but you're
40. Already had the uncomfortable conversation.
Okay,
we've already had that.
But you want to have one with her responding to the letter.
Right.
You want to respond to her letter in a way that has the greatest potential for her to understand or to see your side of this.
Right.
So, guys, what do you think? How could she approach her mother?
Well,
to try to bring some closure to it. So it's
try to understand her mother first.
Yeah,
you know,
hear her out,
right?
And make sure you see all the concerns, and then say, "Can we just go point by point? This is, I really want to understand because I know you're on my side, and you want me and my daughter to have a good life, and so mm-hmm. I want to understand all this." And then say, "I want to deliberate about this and come back and say, you know, if I've thought through it, if you have and you don't have the same concerns, and say, Mom, how can you and I now really love each other and coexist knowing that I'm going to make a different decision, but I have listened to and prayed about that? How, in other words, put it in her court. How can you and I get along and be reconciled knowing that I have kind of done my due diligence and ask her how that can be?
Okay.
And ultimately, Sherry, you bring her along as best you can and you try to meet her where she is, but you also push her to meet you where you are, and if this man is a man of good character, you integrate him into the circle of friends and family, and you let him win them over, and then ultimately it's your life.
Yeah, and he's doing that. She's just not moving her feet.
Well, you know, my hunch is this isn't the first thing she hadn't moved her feet on.
Probably not.
You know, all us white guys aren't bad, you know. she needs to know that we get a bad rap, you know.
I know.
We're not all out there looking.
We do have bad rap. That is true.
That's true. Very bad rap. But hey, there are other good things that she could. That was clever, Henry.
Absolutely.
But anyway, you know, we're not all out there looking at pornography and all that kind of stuff.
I know.
Being mean.
I know.
Okay. All right. Well, let me send you Boundaries Face to Face, John and Henry's book. I hope you like that. And if you don't like it, well, send it back and we'll refund your misery. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Sherry, I'm glad that you called, and hope that this will be helpful to you. Anybody else interested in Boundaries Face to Face, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd be glad to help you find that resource and many other resources that can help you in some particular situation that needs some help. Let's go to Jean from Boston, Massachusetts, WEZE. How you doing, Jean?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have it kind of all planned out because it's a little bit of information, but I was brought up in an abusive home, but it was also a Christian. We also went to a Christian church, but my mom would come home, and she was abusive to me, and I went into foster care and got into, you know, marijuana, and I had some of my own issues with pornography. I got married when I was 19, and when I got pregnant with my first son, we kind of... My husband and I went to church and rededicated our life, and we were at a church for a year and a half, and then the pastor, who had been my pastor since I was small, came on to me inappropriately. And since that happened, it's kind of sent me in a spiral, you know, not like I'm not going back to church. Marijuana's become a part of my life again, and, you know, pornography. It just seems like I'm kind of like... going through this cycle again that mm-hmm. I don't want to go through, and I don't know how to find my way.
It's horrible because you're caught in a kind of a closed circle or a closed system where you can't get out of the quote leaders in your life, you know, are there, but they do you in some way.
Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, like I have two children now. My husband was Catholic, you know, when we got married, and then when I had my first son, we kind of rededicated our life together. And then when this happened, like this pastor is a really, you know, well known in the area and goes to several different churches in the area. So I found myself not wanting to go to any of the churches in my area in fear that I'll see him there. And my husband now doesn't go to church, and it's just feel like we're regressing. And
what is your question for us?
I just, like, it's mostly on the marijuana and, like, and the pornography. Like, those are really issues for me. And, like, in my head and in my heart, I know that they're
wrong.
What
is the question about those, Jean?
How do I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go from here. I just feel like I'm in this really down point. I know that God loves me and he's in my life. I just kind of don't know how to make steps to...
Well... Those issues are probably not what we would call the issues. Those are problems that arise from the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue is that you're in this closed circle where no light and no love and no support and the things that tend to make those problems go away are getting in that circle. And you're right. You've rightly diagnosed it in that you're in a downward spiral because there's got to be some input from the outside. And so, you know, it's kind of like, you know, in the parable of the talents where the guy was afraid and so he hid his talent in the ground?
Yep.
That's what's happened. You've sort of hidden your heart in the ground because some bad things have happened. And you got to get out of that circle. And maybe you start with a really safe place like a counselor and move outward, but maybe we could refer you to some good churches and support systems in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what did you do to communicate about the problem? You know, did you tell anybody? Did you write a letter to the church leaders or anything like that?
No, he's known me since I was 8 years old, and he kind of like, you know, was trying to, my husband and I were going through financial problems, and he had a lot of money, and he was, you know, kind of like meeting me and being like, you know, here's a couple dollars for you and your family. And then one day it just came, he said, you know, if you met me at a hotel once a week, I could give you $100 a week, and we could lay down, and you could give me a massage. And then, like, I just got out of the car, and he's tried to call me, and I've had no contact with him. But the thing is I'm really close with his children that are all, you know, my age and older. I grew up with them, and, you know.
And you're how old?
25. And, you know, I never really handled it. I just kind of stopped going to church, and I just stopped going to where I knew where he would be.
Yeah,
Gene,
the typical scenario is that you make an attempt to get away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. But until you're at a place where you're getting other good fuel and healing and help, your tendency will be to either withdraw or to do things destructive to yourself or to go back to him. So it's time to go ahead and get some help, especially in the areas of the past abuse and all the dependencies you feel and all that, and fill yourself up so that you're not attracted to whatever he was doing again. And then you can deal with whatever you need to do church system-wise with that man. But let's get...
And he's got to be dealt with, Gene. I mean, you can't...
At some point.
Yeah.
Because he's doing this with other people, most likely.
Right, and the board has to know about it, yeah. And the people over him has to know about it.
And it might be great if you ask your husband to help you kind of fight for, you know, your own integrity or feelings of integrity and help you write a letter to that board and tell them what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way you laid it out to us, it's pretty hard to argue with.
Well, it was him and I alone, and like my mother, I have big issues with my mother, and my mother kind of came to me and told me that, you know, I should have known, and if I, you know,
yeah, it's irrelevant what you should have known and all that kind of stuff. I think the board, it would be great if the leadership of that church knew that there's a man there who suggested that you guys go to a hotel room every month.
Whatever your vulnerabilities, he is responsible for coming on to you. And that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
So I'm hoping that one of the things that would come from this is that what he did to you would be used to prevent it ever happening to anybody else again who might be out there wondering, you know, does God love me? Is this the right church for me? All because of an abusive pastor. All right, hold on, and I want to send you How People Grow and Changes That Heal. A couple of books I think will really be of help to you. We'll take a break and come right back after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix, so we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, and you. We love being with you. There are 9 steps out of emotional dependency. The first one here, they're free. Grow up. No, that's not it. I'm sorry. And our resource for this whole month is Moments for Couples Who Long for Children. And this is a great little devotional, and it's the first of a new life. Look, guys, new life devotional series. Isn't that cool? Thanks for looking up from your emails. And right here, it's by Ginger Garrett. It's a great book. If you know somebody that's either miscarried or just infertile, whatever, this is a great, great book for them. A daily devotional, Moments for Couples Who Long for Children. It's a new life resource, and the first of hopefully 3 or 4 to come. But you can get that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, Hey, we know that you struggle, and we struggle too. And if there's any way that you could possibly call us and let us help you in your struggle, we'd love it. It's just 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, people are always saying, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. You can have the answer for what they can do. Do what I do. People say, well, what should I do about this? And I say, why don't you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and let them try to give you the right kind of resource, point you in the right direction. It's a great thing when somebody has a resource that's there all the time, no matter what they're going through. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You know, this is a great time to join Club New Life. It kind of helps us plan out for the rest of the year or next year how the support's going to be coming in and what we can do. We've got some great plans for expansion of radio stations and other things, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. And if you can, would you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE? Let's go to Carrie in Mobile, Alabama. WBHY is the station. Carrie, are you there?
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for taking my call.
Sure.
I'll make a long story short. Me and my wife signed some divorce papers, and it came through. We were separated for about a year. She had grown a lot in the Lord and changed a lot, and I couldn't reconcile. I wanted to, but I still had a lot of unforgiveness. And
she wanted to reconcile with you?
Yes, sir. She did over different times. And
reconcile over what was the breach? What was broken?
Well, we're a blended family. She'd been married before, and I'd never been married. And the first year and a half we were married, we had difficulty there, just kind of blending the her, and she had two children, and that led to some lot of problems. But during our separation period, she had changed a whole lot, and we both saw where he made mistakes, and she had wanted to get back together several times, but for some reason or another,
Carrie, it's usually like a pretty big deal to separate from somebody. What brought that to a head? What was the big problem?
Well, basically, we just, I guess not going to the blended family thing. We just never could.
So y'all fought over the kids?
Well, we had some difficulty there. She kind of kept them separate from me, and
you felt like you couldn't get in the circle?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. That was kind of led up to this.
So did you, and you're the one that separated?
Well, we both agreed to it at first, and
both of you said we can't get along because of you're separate from me and the kids, with the way she would put it.
More or less, it was yes, sir. A lot of it probably had to do with me toward the end too. I was having difficulty at my job and that type thing. And,
okay, Carrie, what is your question for us? This is a little vague.
Yes, sir.
It's hard to kind of see what.
Yes,
the
sir.
Issue
well,
is.
Basically, I actually settled my salvation last Sunday. I had I saw the Lord convicting me of a lot of things I did wrong, and He rekindled a passion for my wife. I love her to death, and
so you want to get back together?
Yes, sir. And
you're coming clean and doing a 180 in all of life.
Yes, sir. He just convicted me, and he showed me he didn't. I know it's the right thing to do. You know, she is a Christian, and we made marriage vows under God, got married at our church, and
that's right.
So, what's the problem with that happening?
Well, right now, she's just apprehensive, I believe. Over some hurt.
Well, if we were talking with her, what would she say is the worst thing you ever did that's hardest for her to forgive?
Probably maybe my anger. I've had trouble with anger. I mean, it wasn't anything ever physical or anything like that, but that may be a big thing.
And anger at her kids?
Probably everybody. Just yeah. I've always had a difficulty, and I'm getting help with that now.
So,
handling.
Okay, so the question is what, Carrie? We've only got 30 seconds.
I want to know what to do to show her that we really need to reconcile. I need a miracle from God, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think a lot of people can identify with that. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back after the break and answer your question over the air with some principles for all of us when we find ourselves, you know, shut out by somebody we want to reconcile with.
We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
We appreciate your faithful support of this program. To give a tax-deductible gift of support or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back with New Life Live after this. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, and we're talking to Carrie in a difficult situation and really wanting some help in reconciling with his wife. You know, Carrie, we all know that reconciliation isn't possible. Sometimes, in all cases, that sometimes people go so far and there's nothing you can do to bring the other person back. They're in a different place.
And it's not that it's not possible in the absolute sense.
Right.
But it is not possible from our side of it because we can't control another person.
No willingness.
And it takes two to reconcile.
So, but given that, you know, to me, the most effective thing any guy like you could do is to be able to say to her, I love you. I care about you. I'm going to anger management Tuesdays and Fridays and going to my men's Bible study in the morning. I really want to transform who I am into something that you would feel loved by.
Mm-hmm. And Carrie, I think it's very important. You know, when you talk about reconciliation, God is our model. And what the Bible says is that while we were yet enemies, He died for us. And that becomes our model. And what we have to do in tough situations like this is even while the person is still our enemy, we have to die. And what that means is we have to die to our agenda. We have to die to being understood. We have to die to wanting to be right. We have to die being in control. And what we have to do is carry the cross to humble ourselves, and basically I think the first move is to affirm why they feel the way they do, And to affirm to her, I understand why you would be afraid. If I were you, I'd be afraid too. I'm not going to try to talk you out of that. But also affirm the end that you want to have happen. But what I would want to have with you is something we've never had. What I would want to have with you is a relationship that neither one of us have ever seen from the other. And I can see how you don't have hope for that, because hope, what do you have to hope in? But I'm just telling you, I am doing my side of things to build towards being the kind of person that you could have that relationship with,
yes,
and that's where I'm headed. And then you just tell her that and you prove it.
Yes, sir. It is God's will for people to reconcile.
Absolutely. That's his whole program.
But you don't want to base your moves toward her on quoting scriptures to her and your newfound faith, because that becomes... it feels like another means of manipulation and control.
Carrie, Steve's right, and I'm concerned about your approach. I want you to kind of role play with this with somebody else, because before the break, you said, well, I want to tell her that we need to get together, and that's what the Bible says. And she's hearing you, an authority who, you know, she doesn't consider you that anymore,
right,
and bringing the other authority, God, in there. I think she needs to hear love. I think she needs to hear, you know, somebody on her side that wants to hear her point. So don't walk in saying, now I've got a new program, I'm right with God, here's me and God's program.
Yeah.
Go in humble, go in broken, go in telling her you want a new life with her, and that's your best possible chance.
All right, I'm glad that you called, and if you will hold on, let me send you a copy of, what would be good, maybe...
I think Boundaries in Marriage.
Boundaries in Marriage.
Because it would talk about, you know, even in the resistant spouse section, it talks about the validation and what you have to do to go to her side and to win her over.
Hmm. Okay. Hold on. I'll send that to you.
Isn't it amazing that in the situation with God and us, that he didn't do anything wrong?
Right.
And still, he humbled himself to come to us. What would the world of relationships look like if the innocent parties didn't have to lord it over and be right, and didn't scream victim and blame and demand this and demand that, but emptied themselves and took a move towards to win somebody over?
You're speaking generally to everyone, not just directly to me across the table from you. Is that right, Henry?
Well, actually, Steve, it was you that reminded me of the concept, and then I made it general.
Steve reminds me in that he's the model of the innocent person who doesn't scream victim. That's what Steve
Listen
does.
Listen to that. All right, hey, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Steve, this
if
is
you
an
need
intervention.
Some, if you need some
we,
help.
We want to intervene. We know that not everybody in your life is... since the time you were born, has appreciated you and loved you and validated you like you should have been. And John and I are here.
Pretty much no one has.
No, that's not true. No, that's not true. Come on. John, come on. This is your moment. We are intervening and telling you, Steve is a good guy. We're grateful for you and that you're in our life.
We are.
Thank you. How about that? Thank you, guys. I love you. All right, now here's the next thing we want to tell you about, and that is Every Man's Battle Workshop. If you have not been appreciated in your life and all you've got is your internet pornography, we've got a place for you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
That shouldn't be your best friend.
Yeah. Pornography is not your best friend. You think it is. But hey, it's messing up your life. One of the things about this article was that no longer is a real live woman, naked woman, enough for a man who's married to her. She can never be enough. And if that's kind of the way you're feeling there, and we'll talk about shame later, but use that guilt and shame to pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and find out about the Every Man's Battle Workshop.
If you've got somebody in your life who doesn't feel guilt and shame about it, you make the call.
Exactly. Your wives, girlfriends. Well, you know, here's something that I think we ought to add to the marriage vows. And that is, not only do you know, promise to honor and cherish and all that and never sleep with anybody else, but will you promise you will never go on the internet and look at pornography? I mean, you know what? I would, if I was dating, if I was a woman I was dating, I would say to a man, you know, I expect you to be true to me, but also I want to know that you will not use internet pornography or any kind of pornography. I want that commitment from you. And if I can't get that kind of commitment, and he starts saying, oh, you know, all men, I think you move right on. Or give him an opportunity to find out the truth. And then maybe you move on.
Some men don't know that there's a standard there and that there's reasons for that, and they really do. I mean, it's more of a matter of not having the information, being
right.
ignorant of.
That's
so
true.
It really helps to say, no, this is important to me because it fractures our relationship.
That's right.
It fractures you.
New standard.
Well, it gets into the whole concept of the standard that Jesus put out there in the Sermon on the Mount, that there's internal faithfulness as well as external faithfulness.
Right.
And wherever there's lust, it could be internet, it could be lust for, you know, just somebody walking down the street, it could be fantasies of old relationships, it could be a lot of stuff. But what makes a relationship work is when the inside and the outside are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And some couples have external faithfulness, but the internal world is far, far short of faithfulness.
Well, we really believe in authenticity, the external and the internal, all working together there. And if you're troubled by that, there's the Every Man's Battle workshop and the book Every Man's Battle. Also, the new book, Preparing Your Son for Every Man's Battle, just off the press. I think that's going to change some lives. It's by Fred Stoker and myself. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you about that. All right, let's go to Tess. And Tess is calling from Aurora, Colorado. KRKS is the station. Hi, Tess. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing good, thank you. My question is my husband and I have been together for 22 years, and he's actually about 15 years older than I am, and we have an issue with the sexual relations that we have and the number of times that we have. He definitely has a much higher sex drive than I, which means he could certainly have the desire to make love to me every day, and I obviously don't have that high of a drive. And then when I feel a lot of the times that I just kind of go through the motions, and then when I don't with him, then I feel guilty. And I'm just feeling kind of...
How does he respond when you don't, Tess?
That he can't sleep, and then he doesn't have a good day, because that's really important. That's just like always been...
Tess, that's different than...
That's not a high sex drive.
Than a high sex drive, Tess. See, a high sex drive is something biological that some people's motors are differently, you know...
They're definitely different.
No. That's not what we're saying. If he has symptoms of not having gratification whenever he would like to have it, such as not sleeping, not having a good day, there's something else going on where he is somehow using it as some kind of an anesthetic for his life. That's not a drive. There's a problem in him. See the difference?
Yeah.
With a higher sex drive, he'd just say, oh, okay, well, let's talk next time. But this affects him inside.
Drive and compulsion are two separate
things. Right, and I think what happens to the wife in a situation like that is, Tess, you're feeling like sort of an object that he uses to regulate himself. You know, sort of like a medication. Like, how is he going to feel? And he's using you, or at least you feel that way. And then you're not a person, and then sex is no longer sex, because sex is about intimacy and knowing another person. So you guys have got to get this worked out.
I want to use a term when we come back that I've heard women describe this not good.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the Every Man's Battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Tess, and Tess's husband is essentially using her as a, or I've heard women say, it felt like he was using me as a form of masturbation. It was nothing intimate, nothing in this for me. It was just feeling like an object being used.
And maybe using for what the purpose of masturbation is, too, which is like Henry was talking about,
yeah.
Like self-regulation,
right.
Calming down, handling stress, which is not the purpose of it. So,
right.
Okay. Well, Tess, you know, if you started with the obvious, the obvious would be, in a good relationship, what you do is you say, you know, Sam, I want to talk about this. And we have different, you know, we have different desires here, and here's how I feel a lot of the times, and let's talk about this. That would be the obvious step to take. So you've done that?
Many, many, many times. It's an ongoing issue.
And what happens? Why is it ongoing, and why doesn't that resolve it?
He feels that I'm not approachable, as he puts it.
And you're not approachable sexually?
Yeah.
But you're having sex every day?
Yes. Or at least minimum five days a week.
Okay, so that's hardly unapproachable. So what happens then when y'all talk about this?
He just feels that let me just backtrack here. You made a comment earlier that when he and I do make love, he is always trying to be very pleasing for me. And, you know, I a lot of times can respond, and sometimes, you know, I can't because of the frequency, and my drive isn't as high as he is. So he's not selfish that way. He always puts me and, you know, in the forethought. So he's not, I don't want to say, he does think of me and my needs, and I guess, well, pleasing me, wanting to please me.
Yeah, he thinks of you and your needs.
Yes.
But he doesn't think of you and your need to not have the same need that he does.
If he were saying, I've got to go out and get a drink every night at a bar, but I want you along there to listen to the band and have a good time and talk to me, but you've got things to do, you'd say he's considering me, but he's still putting his desire before anything and will help you within his desire. So we see the care, but he's unable to say no to himself here.
So what do we or I do?
Well, if you aren't able to talk about this and get to resolution, then the next thing you do is you stop talking about it because that's not working.
Right.
And you would either say, look, I can't go forward with being intimate with you until we're being intimate. And right now we're not being intimate because you're not hearing me. And if he can't hear you at that level, then you say, well, you know, if we can't resolve this together, then let's go talk to a good, wise third person.
Do you think that person, because he's open to that,
good,
would be male or female?
Doesn't matter. I think they need to be wise.
Good.
Okay.
Why would male or female have anything to do with it?
Because he seems to think that talking to a female would be hearing it from more of a woman's point of view
end. Okay, good. Then in a good way, he thinks that's a good thing?
Yeah.
Well,
he thinks his perspective.
He's open.
He is definitely open. And I think that would be...
Yeah, but you can make the other argument as well, that hearing another man give him the perspective of, this isn't a female's perspective, Joe, this is a human perspective, that you're out of line here.
So
it doesn't matter if you're some. You're going to have benefits either way. If he has this bias, then go for the bias that's going to get to him the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this isn't a male-female issue. This is about a relationship having mutual respect.
And am I being unreasonable, or is he being unreasonable? I mean,
it doesn't matter. And I think if you go down that road, y'all are going to get into who's right and who's wrong, because you're going to get into a lot of areas of life where you have differences. The question is, can a couple resolve their differences?
Right. This, you go down that line, you're going to end up with a spreadsheet of, like, you know, times, okay?
Right.
You don't want to do that.
Right, I don't.
So, Tess, when you get him to the third party, this good therapist, say, can we talk with what's underneath all this? Like, is it hard for you, Jim, to calm down, or do you sometimes, is it hard for you to put words on your feelings? Sometimes a man will sexualize words because they just don't have the words to talk about failure at work and stress and getting older and fear, and help him to deal with the underlying thing, or you'll just be doing management the rest of the marriage, mm-hmm. and that's no way to go. There's something underneath that's driving this man that's causing him pain, and help him to get there.
All right, I want you to hold on. I'm going to send you Every Woman's Desire. It's part of the Every Man's Battle series, and I hope that he'll read it, and you guys could read it together, and hope it'll open some things up for you. And hold on, we'll send that to you. You know, guys, we love accounting. We love accountants. We love people that have that as a profession. But when it comes to marriage, accounting is not the way to go
the
there. Creating the
go.
Spreadsheet right. there, you end up with a right. bunch of little numbers and boxes, and I owe you this, and you owe me that,
love
yeah. and you lose.
Love doesn't grow in that environment, Steve. It basically kind of gives up and says, okay, you want the law, you'll get the law.
Right.
And you get the fruit of the law, which is basically judgment, emphasis on fairness and who's got rights.
Right.
You don't get the sacrifice and the expansiveness of connection.
But
study.
The sad thing is,
what?
That it's absolutely necessary in some relationships.
Hmm.
And the Bible affirms that the law is for the lawless.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this thing about relationship where love should be the highest value, and what that takes is two people that have the ability to have self-control and get out of their own needs and look to the other and keep score in that way, to regard not only your own interests but the interests of others,
right.
as Paul says. And when they can't do that, with couples sometimes I've had to say, you know what, you guys don't have a loving relationship. We have to make this a legal one and keep score.
Hmm.
So you tell me how many movies you go to this week, and does everybody get a turn like you do with three-year-olds?
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you get to pick one and
mm-hmm.
you get to pick one, or is the score not even? Because some people are not at the level of maturity where they can be left
good
alone
point.
Without a chaperone. You
I wonder
have to
if,
keep score.
I wonder if accountants by profession are accountants in marriage more or less than other people. Just something to think about. Couple of reminders. Every Man's Battle is November the 3rd in Orange County and December the 1st in Dallas. And if you're a woman married to, dating, used to, whatever, to a man who's got a sexual integrity problem, have him call us or you call. But if you're a man, oh my goodness, call right now and say, I'm going to get this taken care of. I'm going to get it out of the way. Restore is Hope for a Woman's Heart. That is November the 10th. Hope for a Woman's Heart. And then Living Light, that's our weight loss program. That's January the 26th in Washington, D.C. Let's see. 9 Steps Out of Emotional Dependency are free at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. The resource, a devotional, a great gift, or for you, Moments for Couples Who Long for Children. I wrote the introduction to this, talking about my experience with infertility and many, many wonderful, wonderful insights that will help you through this struggle there from this great little book. It's a New Life resource by Ginger Garrett. And then for those that support this ministry, and please, what a great time to just say, okay, I'll support you with a gift, a monthly gift. Sign me up for Club New Life. And if you do that, we'll send you Trusting God Through Tough Times. It's a CD, essentially the story of 2003 for me. But for any of you that are going through tough times, this will be a great help. And you know what? John and Henry have a new little book called
Making Small Groups Work.
Making Small Groups Work. And that's another great resource that you can get at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
And a new big book called Boundaries Face to Face.
And Boundaries Face to Face. That and all the Boundaries materials, all the Every Man's Battle materials, including the new one, which is, what is it?
What's, well,
Yeah, preparing your son for every man's battle. Whoop, main brain cloud. Preparing your son for every man's battle. All that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the Archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.